Roger, he's got a great word this morning. Please give him your best attention. Come on, let's really give it up for him. Roger, you are marvelous. You are wonderful. I love you, buddy. Bless you, man.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. You may be seated, those who are standing, and you can stand if you are seated. No, just kidding. Thanks for the beautiful privilege again to stand in this pulpit. That there's been a great sacrifice of many people giving their money into this house, that this place can be set up, established as an altar to God. And this is an altar that's not just at the front, but it extends right through the building. I saw that when I was praying and preparing myself for this message this morning. You're good? You're ready? Okay. Well, today I want to actually bring a message to you, and it's entitled, From Fear to Faith. And the enemy would want to cause us to be walking in fear. The world tends to be motivated all the time with fear. People are driven by fear. People have got fear of missing out. Who has fear of missing out? You want to know what's going on, you know? We weren't fearful that we're not as good looking as the person next to us. Just have a check. No, you're all beautiful. That's okay. But there's fear all the time in our lives. You say, I'm worried about this. Do I have enough money? You know, we're always fearful, fearful, fearful. But that's not God's kingdom. God's kingdom is one of faith. Who wants to live in God's kingdom? Yeah. I do. And it is a kingdom where we have faith. And faith that is going to just shift and change us. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Right. When I first joined the C3 movement, it was down at Brookvale in Pastor Phil Pringle's church. They had a great big banner. I think we should have one here, but it's not my call, but up there it had, have faith in God. And Pastor Phil, for many years, that was his message. People would call him to go and minister all around the world to bring a message of faith. And he wrote a great song, and it was called, I Walk by Faith. You remember that one, Julie? I walk by faith, each step by faith. I put my trust in you, and we would do it. And it was a lot of fun. But we need to actually raise up that faith within, because the world would want to pull us down. We need to be the people of faith. Are you a people of faith? Are you a people of faith that you trust in God? And God is worthy of putting our trust in. In Psalm 18:2, this scripture says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Where do you rush to in times of trouble? I tell you the place to run, and that is to run to God, because God is a strong fortress. And when I'm in times of trouble, I consider myself, I go in, and I love, there's a beautiful song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. A great and mighty old hymn. And I'd imagine myself that there's this great rock and there's a crack in the rock, and you get into that and you hide yourself in it. And your security is not in yourself, but your security is in the very rock that surrounds you. And that rock is God. He is the one that we are to run to. And this world at this moment is trying to shake us and shake us and shake us. Only last week we had an act of terrorism in this country. And the whole world is talking about it to a mighty man of God. And my God delivered him. The assailant who came in to take his life, actually in his own vengeance of pushing forward, damaged himself and was seriously injured himself. And the bishop has gone out online. He's actually saying, I love you. He's saying, I love you. And Pastor Julie was talking about this, that our response to things isn't to send back the same spirit, but we are to bring forward the Spirit of God, which is a spirit of love and acceptance. And he actually sent a message out to saying, I love you, to the young man who assailed him. This is our God. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. And the weapons we have, the greatest weapon that we have, is one of love. God loves you, and he loves me. You're precious in his sight. Every person out there, even those people that we would maybe think we don't like them, and maybe they've said bad things about you, maybe they've acted poorly against you, God loves them. He loves you and He loves me. Let us be those who actually return God's love, and let us be a conduit for His love and be able to pour out love to every single person in this world around about us. Let's not consider people our enemies. Just let us consider them. They don't know Jesus yet. They're yet to be saved. They're yet to understand the beautiful glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're pre-Christians, that's right. And you may have people in your family that were once walking with the Lord, and at the moment they're actually on a journey. Don't consider them to be backslidden and lost. My children have had seasons where that was a season where they were out of the house of God, and I declared over them that they were working on their testimony. And there's many people who have been in this house, and at this moment they're walking through a season of testimony. Let's declare today that they will return into the house, be it this house or another house, and they will serve the belt. They will return to the Lord and give their heart back to Him and understand the mercy and grace that Jesus extends to them. And I know personally in my own life where I have failed, where I have sinned, I've come to discover the glorious mercy of Jesus Christ. And when you know that you've got much to be forgiven, you understand the grace and the mercy that God is for us. And we need to be those who can minister that. If God has forgiven me, that He can forgive those who have wronged against me. That the Lord's prayer is that we would forgive those who have wronged us. I want us to move into a place that we have the faith that nothing can hold us back. And God has given us authority. And Pastor Julie was talking about, Pastor Phil had a great message on building the house. And we are those who build the house and pour into His kingdom. And in doing that, being part of this house, we've been given authority. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has given me authority. Now the world today poo-poos, am I allowed to say that word from the pulpit? I just did. The poo-poos authority. Have you noticed? But what happens? They're shifting the authority. By this, there's a lie, there's a deception saying, authority's bad, but then they're actually sneaking in with a different authority that is contrary to God's authority. God has given an authority. He's given authority to us, to His church, and He positions people around the world to carry authority and administer it in just ways. But the enemy would want to take that authority away and corrupt it for his plans and his purposes. But we want to be those who actually stand in agreement with God's word, in His authority, understanding He is the one and only God, and all authority comes from Him. And God the Father gave all authority to Jesus, and Jesus has given all that authority to us. Okay, so there's a level of authority that goes down. And He says this in Matthew 11:23, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself in the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes," say believe, believes. We've got to shift from unbelief into belief, that God will actually use us, that when they that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Yeah. Now, when we have authority, it's not our power that flows through us, it's the very power of God, because He's appointed each and every one of us to a position, a station in life, that you have authority. You have authority in your home. You have authority over your life. You have authority in your relationships. You have authority when you come into this house. You have authority wherever you go, because you have the authority to actually bring the kingdom of heaven. That authority has been given to you. I will give you an example, a personal example. God, for some unknown reason, sent me to the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. It was the Australian Broadcasting Commission when I first started that. And I thought, do I really want to go into that worldly place? But God called me. He says, I need someone with authority, a willingness to be able to stand for Him in that place. And while I was there in my traineeship, we actually started a Bible study and a prayer group. We had a group and we were praying for the ABC when it was back at Gore Hill on the North Shore. some journalist overheard us praying for the ABC. And it ended up being on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. And they thought, well, maybe these Christians know something about the ABC that we don't. And that was a bit of fun. But then I actually ended up becoming a freelancer and actually went and worked for the ABC back in about 2006 or 7. And they had relocated into the city. And God was taking me through a season where I was being asked the question by God, how big is your God? And I, how big is your God? Is your God just enough for you? And God was showing me that, my God, don't keep God to myself, that I need to actually bring God's presence wherever I am. So when I'm in this place, by faith, I believe that when I walk in here, when I'm standing on this pulpit, well, Almighty God's Spirit fills this house. His presence is here. Why? Because I carry the presence of God. Now, I carried that at the ABC, and the ABC had a great big atrium in the foyer, huge space. Government money can buy a lot. Anyway, I would go out in my breaks, and I would walk around praying for the ABC, bringing in, saying, Lord, your Spirit is filled the whole ABC, the whole ABC, from the top to the bottom. When the show goes up, the Spirit of the Lord is here. My God is so big, he fills that. When I was doing that, unbeknown to me, that they actually needed a new managing director for the ABC, and they actually appointed a Christian man. How's that? And he actually went to C3 at Oxford Falls. Mark Scott was his name. And I was working in the studio, and he had came through to see what's going, and said, oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi, Roger. How are you going? And that man stayed in that throne and in that position. And while he was in that position, the ABC behaved themselves. And they were actually going good. But as soon as he left, when that man left, the whole countenance of the place came, and they were very anti-Christ. We need people in authority in different positions. We need people who would take that authority and understand that God has appointed them and given them authority to actually change the atmosphere where they were. And he was able to change it. And I was changing what was there because our God is big. And there's a spirit in this world. But we can displace the spirit when we assume the authority that God has given us. Are you willing to take that authority to stand up and not be intimidated, but stand up? No, I'm going to have the authority to change the atmosphere wherever I go. The atmosphere in my house is going to change. The atmosphere at work is going to change. The atmosphere in my car is going to change. That if someone cuts in front of me, I bless them instead of curse them. In every part of our lives, we need to actually understand that our words have power, that we can speak to a mountain and that it will move. After Ben, we're getting a bit of rustles. Oh, dear. Okay. No shave. It hides my beauty. The glory would... Anyway. Now, let us understand this, that each and every one of us, we have been created in God's image, but in his beautiful execution for us, he has actually caused us to be a spirit dwelling within a body and having a soul as well. But our spirit is the very core of our being. It's the very center of who you are. If I was to ask any of you who you are, you would say your name. But if I said, oh, no, if I was say to Katrina, oh, you're Betty, and she'd say, no, I'm not Betty, I'm Katrina. She knows who she is intimately within her very being. And when Moses asked God, who are you? To God, what's your name? He says, I am. And God is spirit. He knows. He is the ultimate I am. That you and I have an I am. Are you yourself? Is there an answer? Yeah, I am. I am. And God is the great I am. And the reality is that I actually get my full being, my full identity comes from the great I am. You're going to see there's a connection, and it's a spirit-to-spirit connection. And for those people out in the world out there, they don't understand that Jesus has come to connect us to God, who is spirit, to connect us to the great I am, that we can then get to understand who we are, that we can say, I am a child of God. I am made in the likeness of God.
I am chosen for this time. And then the I ams, when we understand the word of God and his promises for us, the I ams can start tumbling out. And we need to proclaim those I ams, what this word says. Don't bring your I ams and put the world's words to it. I'm a failure. I can't do it. And assume into it. Let's be those in faith. It takes faith to step in and actually declare the true I ams. This is the beauty of Christianity. Jesus says, I will come to give you life, life more abundant. And the abundant life comes from your identity of knowing exactly who you are. John 4, 23 to 24, we read, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. We are God's true worshippers because we have given our heart to Jesus. His spirit now dwells in us, and we can commune with him and worship him in spirit. And our worship this morning was an intimate place where our spirits cried out to his spirit and his spirit ministered towards us. You need church to come. Make sure you get to church all the time, because in this place there is a transaction that builds up your spirit. Pastor Phil Pringle down Oxford, Florida, he used to say, we leak spirit. We leak it. We need filling up every day. We are just earthen vessels. We've got cracks in us. There's a great Chinese proverb about a pot that had cracks in it, and it was being carried down to the well and back to the home every day. Well, on the other side was a perfect pot. But when that Chinaman went down and back, the crack pot said, what purpose am I? I've just got cracks in me. And the other Chinaman, have a look on the side of the journey. When every time I come back from the well, back up to the house, your leaking actually drops down water on there. And look at all the plants that have been watered along the way. And yet the one that was perfect, nothing was watered. On that side, it was dry and barren and nothing grew. Were you and I in the crackness of our humanity, in our weakness? God uses our weakness that we can share God's love and be able to be relational. Let's be relational with those around about us. We're not high and mighty. Oh, I'm a Christian, you're not. No, I'm human, you are too, and I understand your pain and your suffering. That's us. We can be truly human. Jesus came to the earth as God, 100% God, but 100% human, to share in our sufferings, to share and understand the brokenness of humanity. And he shed his blood for us, that we would have life. We share our lives with those around about us. But, you know, it pours out, the Spirit pours out. You need to come to church and come into this house and get filled out and have a transaction with God. Because God's got a plan in this house that we build up one another. It's not, we don't just come to church for ourselves, but we come that we can be a support to us. Community, community, community. Relationship, relationship, relationship. It's what Christianity is all about. Just aware of the time. How much time have I got? Because we kicked off a little bit. 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Crikey. All right. Let me find my way through here. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. What we have received, you and me, we have received this. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you have received this spirit. It's not the spirit of the world, but it's the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand, say understand, understand what God has freely given us. Many people don't understand what God has given them. And God has given us a spirit, and in that spirit there is power. There are gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. There are fruits that come with the Holy Spirit. And many people are ignorant about these facts. And I want us to not be those who are ignorant, but those who understand. We need understanding. And God has given us the ability to understand great principles of his kingdom. Because not only do we have this mind, but the scripture says that we actually are given the mind of Christ. That we can actually go, God, what does this mean? What should I be doing here? And he in his with the Holy Spirit will then minister to us and he'll give us answers. But he's given us wonderful gifts. These gifts have been brought to us for this house so that we can minister to one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes a wonderful passage and it's all about love. And if you've ever been to a wedding, chances are you've heard it. It says, starts off saying, love is patient, love is kind, and it describes love. But did you realize that that very scripture that people take, even those in the world love that scripture, that it actually is bookended with chapter 12 and chapter 14, and it's all about the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to be able to minister as Christians, to bring life. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. But the motivation is love, not power, manipulation, control. It's not that at all. It's love, to be able to care and nurture for one another. And if you're going to love, you need something to love. Love cannot love itself. Love, if you have selfish love, that's selfishness. Now, our God is a God who is a self-giving love. He loved the world so much, he gave his only son. So our God is a giving God. So when we receive his love into us, it must be giving. It must be giving. We can't keep it to ourselves. It must be one that we pour out to one another. You need something to love. And the world would want you to come and love it. There's all sorts of things that want to call your heart that I've, you know, and one of the reasons why we actually challenge people say, hey, bring your tithes and offering into this house, because the truth is there's a law in giving. It says wherever you put your treasure, your heart will follow. When we put our treasure somewhere, it follows. So we actually, no, put your treasure in this house here. Don't lay it up for things here that will rust and decay, but let's build God's kingdom, because the only thing that's going to last eternity for eternity is you and me and all those that we actually draw into his kingdom. They're the riches of this world, to actually bring men and women, boys and girls into the presence of God, that they will rule and reign with Christ Jesus for all eternity. So we need this love that God has, that we can share the gospel, to have a boldness, but the enemy would want to pull us down and he would want us not to have the strength, but we need the Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. We're unable. The world is full of self-help systems. It's full of them. And some of the people do great things. There are people who have built huge empires on their self-motivation. But it's all going to rust and decay. It's all going to rust and decay. But for us, God says, will you come and help me build my church? He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. His kingdom, when we receive his kingdom and share his kingdom, it will go for all eternity. Who wants to be part of that? That's where I've said, Lord, use me. I want to do stuff for you. I don't want to just be living for myself. I want to actually live for you because I know these things are so important. They last for eternity. So this Spirit that we've been given, it says here, the gifts, now in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, and verse 11, they say, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Do you know what the gift is that God has put into your life? Let's have a look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we wrap up, I might get the musos to come up. That'd be great, thank you. So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, we get this wonderful list of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. You know, there's some people in this house and you are wise and you're worthy to actually be available, make yourself available that you can share godly wisdom to those around about us. We're all at different walks in our life. And those of us who have walked with the Lord for many eons, then in that time, if you've been diligently seeking after God, His Spirit will give you wisdom. And that wisdom is not just for yourself, it's to be shared. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And we believe in this house here that God can give you a word, a specific word of knowledge that can actually be the key that will, for your situation at this very moment. Remember when Jesus met the woman at the well and he was able to say to her, you're not married, you've been married 5 times and the guy that you're with at the moment, you're not married. There is a gift of knowledge that we have in this church, and I know people minister with this Spirit where they can actually cut right to the chase and say, your problem's not this, it's that. And it sounds a bit scary, but quite often we don't understand ourselves. We don't know, who's ever done this? Why do I act this way? Why do I react to all these situations so poorly? And a word of knowledge can bring you to a place where you can say, that's it, that's the reason. And when that is touched by God, your lives are transformed. It's changed. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit for transformed lives. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. The discernment that is necessary to understand what's the spirit behind this person. And we're blessed in this house that we have sentinels standing around this place, gifts that have been put out where people say, I'm a bit concerned about that person. We've got a new person coming into the house and their spirit is not right. And there is protection in this house. We've got our eyes open saying, making sure that no wolves come in sheep's clothing. So important. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and each one could be a sermon. It could be a series for us to be able to discover all the things that God wants to give us. But these gifts have been given to this house that we can build the house of God. It's not by might, not by strength. Paul says, I don't talk with eloquent words. It's because of God's power. That when we speak, it's not because I'm eloquent and the best speaker that could win any debate or Toastmasters that Katrina could do, because she learnt the Toastmaster way. But when even our clumsy words, when we're submitted to God, can be powerful and effective. All we need to be those who say, Lord, I'm available. But we do it in love. And we've got the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. And we don't have to be those who are caught up in being fearful of the things happening around the world or what's going to happen in my life. But I can know that I can stand safe and secure that my God loves me and He's given me this Holy Spirit to empower me, that I can walk a straight path and not deviate and get caught in the snares of the enemy. But He's also given me gifts that I can bring here, and today is a beautiful opportunity that God has given me the privilege to preach and share His good, the great and wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gift that God has given you? Now, you may not know, or you might know, maybe you've forgotten about the gift, but God is a generous God and He wants to give you a gift. So today is a day that God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit. This is a Spirit-filled church. We don't just believe in Jesus and the work of the cross. We believe that He ascended into heaven, is now seated with the Father, but then He actually sent His Holy Spirit to be with us. Now, some of you may have walked for many years and I've received the Holy Spirit. And up here, you believe, oh, yes, no, I'm a Christian. The Bible says I've received the Holy Spirit. But there's a big difference between receiving a gift and actually truly receiving a gift. In olden days, if you were invited to a wedding gown would be given to you. And you were expected to go to the wedding wearing that gown. Can you imagine if you rocked up to the wedding and they said, did you receive the wedding gift? Did you get the wedding gown? Yeah, got it. Well, have you opened the package up? Have you had a look inside? Oh, no. But it's pretty good. It's very precious to me. I put it in the wardrobe. It's up the top there because it's just too good to be worn. was that gift received? When it was truly received, its purpose was to get put on so you could go to the wedding and celebrate with the bride and groom. Each and every one of us has been given the Holy Spirit. But we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's a time when we say, Lord, I thank you that you've given me your Holy Spirit, but Lord, I want to actually put on your Holy Spirit. And I give you the freedom, Lord, to let your Spirit flow through me. And right through the New Testament, the example was that when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, they would start to speak in tongues. God wants to give each and every one of us a gift, and tongues is a beautiful tongue to start off with, because the Bible says the base model of speaking in tongues is one that speaks to God and it edifies yourself. There's another gift of tongues where you can actually minister to someone in tongues, and then that needs the gift of interpretation. There's another gift of tongues when you can actually get to speak in a foreign language and actually speak to a foreigner and they understand, and you're saying, they say, you're speaking my language. But the personal gift of speaking in tongues is available, I believe, for every single one. So I want you right across this room today, stand up. Where's your faith put? Have you put your faith in God and His Word and what He wants to do in your life? Or are you keeping your faith in what you think, what the world thinks, and what the world would consider the right thing? The fear of man is something that would always constantly try to pull us back. But we need to be those who are bold and say, no, I'm going God's way. I want to receive what God has for me. I want what God has for me. Are you on fire with God? If you're on fire with God, you say, yes, God, I want everything you have for me. I'm available for you. My whole life, my relationships, my home, my work, my finances, everything, Lord. But most of all, Lord, my spirit is available for you, Lord. That you would come and dwell, Lord. Lord, my desire is to receive you. So right now, there may be people in this house and you've never actually accepted Jesus Christ. Can I say, if you say, Lord, I want you, I want your spirit, He promises He will put His Holy Spirit in you and your life will be changed. The purpose of your life will be completely different. It'll be the purpose that God has established, that you can live the life that He really wants you to live. So with every eye closed and every head bowed right now, is there anyone in this house right now that you want to say, hey, Roger, I want what you're talking about. I want God to touch me. I want the Spirit of God. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Is there anyone across the room that is your situation? Is there anyone? Before I move on in the service, I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit for believers here. Not a one. Okay, can you put your hand up if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You've actually received the Holy Spirit in its fullness. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to address these people right now that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you dwell within me. I give my life afresh to you. Lord, I desire your spiritual gifts. Use me for your purposes and your plans. I receive now your gifts in their fullness for your purpose. Amen. Amen, amen. So I believe right now God has heard those prayers. And we need to actually be able to be bold, to actually step out. We're going to have an altar call. We're going to actually pray for people But we're going to have an altar call that for baptism of the Holy Spirit. For those people who haven't put their hand up, would you like to come to the front here? We want to pray for you, that you will, and the ministry team will pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The altar call is open right now. I'll ask Pastor Julie to come up as well. Thank you, Jesus.